Welcome back to the Positive Gains Podcast. Today, my special guest is Coach Bay. Coach Bay Rasul, you might remember him. I think we spoke, a year ago. He was working for the University of Arizona football team. And now he has transitioned to Bowling Green University as the cornerbacks coach and special teams assistant. Coach Bay, what's up, man?
Man, what's good, dog? Good to see you. Appreciate it.
Good to see you. So last time we talked, we were talking about you guys were prepping at Arizona for the spring game. We had spoke about changing the culture and trying to like bring back that you know, the pride. There's a lot of pride in Tucson, especially at U of A, and you guys have done a good job. So yeah, going fast forwarding a year. You're in a brand new spot. You got new challenges. So how did that all come about, leaving Arizona and arriving at Bowling Green?
Yeah, so it was a good transition. You know, at Arizona, I was in a great spot, hometown, great program that's ready to take off. But I wasn't the position coach. I was the assistant position coach. And so here was an opportunity to be the position coach, to run your own room. To be able to recruit your position and kind of develop it how you see fit. The opportunity was pretty unique. You know, there was a guy that was at Arizona administration, and he was leaving for a position at Bowling Green, and kind of threw my name in and just said, hey, if there's something that comes open, you know, here's a guy you could look at that maybe might be a good fit, might not be. I interviewed here in January. They went with a more experienced guy at the time. I ended up taking a job at Illinois State, and it was tough because Bowling Green ended up circling back and having this position come open for me and kind of move some things around. But the whole time I knew I wanted to be here. And so it was just kind of a blessing that it kind of came back open. And now I'm going on, I want to say week 5 of being here at Bowling Green. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And so you said getting your own guys and being the, the position coach. Can you talk about that? Like the importance of getting the right guys that you feel fit, what you guys are looking at doing, and maybe having that pressure of it's not on maybe somebody else. Now all eyes are on me.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what you sign up for. You know, that's what you get into this business, and this is the point that you really want to get to, that I've really wanted to get to where you can be a little bit more of the architect, you know what I'm saying? And not just the behind the scenes support, which is critical. And it was awesome. But ultimately you're trying to get to a position where you can be a little bit more of the creator and have some more of the influence and do things kind of how you see fit and use your experiences and use the people that help teach you and bring you up in this game. I think, you know, when you talk about the fit and the guys that you look for in these roles and in your room, it's everything, because ultimately you're answering to the head coach and ultimately it's his program. And you want to bring in guys that fit what he is looking for his program. And the beauty of that is when you do that and you have that alignment, which to me is everything, then it works. You know, it's not, I don't believe it's always the most talented teams that have the most success. I think it's the teams that definitely have talent, but more importantly, I would say teams that have great alignment when everybody's pushing the same direction, when there's just people that fit what the head coach is looking for in the program that he's built or is building. And when you have a lot of those pieces that just fit, you get the right, you get the right puzzle, you know what I'm saying? And so, I think that's my initial challenge here is learning what that is. What is he looking for? You know, what is the program all about? Not from what people tell you, but from what you see and the vibe that you get, which here has been very positive and one that I'm really enjoying. But beyond that, it's more important to like come in, listen, come in, learn, come in, ask questions, be curious. And now I'm kind of getting my footing. So now I kind of have a better idea. Okay, this guy is going to really fit our culture. this guy is really what the head coach is looking for. And because you have your board, you have your list of guys that you're evaluating. You might have a guy that's like, you know, this guy's a little bit more talented, but the talent disparity is not that much. And this guy, though a little bit less talented, is a much greater fit. So to me, that's the one you want to go with. So that's kind of how I look at that.
Is that tough to get people to understand that? Because on the outside looking in, most people would think that, you know, similar, like if this guy is talented, this guy's talented, why didn't this guy get picked? Or this guy was rated higher. I don't understand. So that's a great point. But is it hard to get people to understand that when you're trying to align a team together?
People like who?
Like, you know, like if you're recruiting, because I know that sometimes emails or phone calls and not everybody's going to get something. And so then it's hard for them to understand or grasp.
Yeah. Like those other prospects or their coaches, right. their parent. Yeah. Yeah. I know that's a good question. Is it hard? Yeah, it can be. It definitely can be because, you know, they're looking for opportunities and their high school coaches or their 7-on-7 coaches, their parents, they are trying to get their kids opportunities, and you understand that and appreciate that. But ultimately, the wrong opportunity to me is not an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? If this is a situation where you bring that person in and you're like, I have a feeling this won't work, this won't be a good fit, and you still do that, you ultimately run into the same problem where you're still trying to replace that spot. You're still trying to fill that void because you haven't filled it. A good buddy of mine that works with the Eagles in scouting, he always talks about, you know, when they're drafting players, position of need versus best available. Well, if you're saying we really need a linebacker, we really need a linebacker, and and because of that pressure or because of that sense of we have to get this position, you end up taking a linebacker that doesn't have the necessary talent and physical tools. Yeah, you drafted somebody because you needed that position, but ultimately you did not fill that hole. There's still a void there. All you did was waste a pick. So I look at it the same way here. Like, I would rather bring in the right fit, the right person, the right guy who fits our culture and what we're looking for, who definitely has adequate talent as well, to then say, okay, we have filled this hole. And ultimately, another thing you're trying to do as a coach is you're always trying to, and this is just the reality of it, you're always trying to say, is this person better than what we have? Do we feel like we have a chance to upgrade from a talent perspective at the position without compromising the fit?
And one thing that you said last year that really stuck with me that I thought was really, really good advice, you had said when it came to recruiting with kids and coaching and all that in general, you said, maybe don't look at necessarily where you want to go. You said it's okay to have a dream school, you know, shoot for the stars. But if that's not going to happen, maybe you need to look at, like you were saying, where you're needed or where you'll fit in, as opposed to where you want to be. And then that'll make the partnership that much better. That really stuck with me because I felt like if more people understood that, maybe it would be better. But to get moving forward, what are you going to miss most about Arizona? I hate to, you know, go back. This would be the last Arizona question, but yeah. What are you going to miss most about the campus and your time there?
It's home. So naturally you're going to miss what you know best. Relationships, you know, a lot of those players there, you know, I became very close with. Coaches, staff, you know, really just everybody in the building that you just form those very close relationships with. I already do, you know what I'm saying? I miss seeing them every day. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, just sometimes you still talk to former players and just to check on them. And yesterday I talked to one of our players there named Gunnar Maldonado, and it was just funny. He answers the phone and he just starts laughing. And I just start laughing because you just know there's all these memories in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I didn't say a word, we were just laughing. But I think you can't really replace those relationships. You can't replace those feelings. And those are now memories, which is crazy to think about. You know what I'm saying? It's already in the past, but you just appreciate them and you always carry them with you. You hope that you gave them something that helps them move forward in their life. You know that they made an impact on you and your life. But to answer your question too, I would say definitely got to say my Mexican food, my spots, you know, my spots, man, that's always tough, you know, family relationships. Again, I'm from there, but I'm also really excited about being here in the state of Ohio.
Absolutely. How about the coaching aspect? Cause you know, you talked about the fit and making sure that, you know, you get the right guys and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, right? Because so many people see that if one part of the team's not performing as well as the other, the light starts shining brighter. So talk about the pressure that can mount just within coaching to try to get it right. Because sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Some people have a longer leash than others. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, right?
It's true. And to me, over the years, the pressure part of it has become obvious to me. Like the pressure part is obvious and it's known and it's felt and it's always present. It's consistent. But the, on the flip side of it is to not overthink it, to really not overthink it. It's easier said than done, but a lot of wise coaches or experienced coaches or just people that I trust in the business, you know, a lot of times you just have to, you still have to go with your gut, trust your instincts, pull the trigger. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like you still just have to go with like, look, do you feel like he has the athletic ability? Yes. You feel like he runs well enough? Yes. Feel like he's a solid dude? Yep. All right, man. Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Don't start creating too many scenarios in your head and start overthinking things. Good player, good person, take him. And I try to like keep that, like do my due diligence, you know, don't skip any steps, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, do your homework, be very detailed in your evaluations of a person, of a player. But after he kind of checks the box, you know, go with it. And I like to talk about putting guys above the line. If they're above the line and they're a take for you, now you can rank them, you know, the guys that are above the line. So here's 10 guys that I would take. Now rank them 1 through 10. And now you're just working down the line. Okay, this guy committed to another school. Okay, this guy's not interested. Okay, this guy. And you're kind of working your way through your board. You know, that's just the reality of how it goes. And that also helps you not overthink, because if you said he's over the line, that means you will take him and you got to feel comfortable taking him. It's the same thing when you're drafting guys in the NFL. Not that I've been there, but I know enough people who do that for a living. And they always say the same thing to me, like you have your best players, you rank your best players, and you miss out on guys and you miss out on a position you needed. But ultimately you fall to, okay, here's our number 6 guy on the board. He's our 6th best player on our board. You know what I'm saying? Right. And let's say we're drafting 15th and we got our 6th best player. That's value. We won. We should celebrate that. And you can't dwell now on players 1 through 5. Because ultimately, you got player number 6 at spot number 15. You just made value for your franchise. So with how college football is now with the portal, I think of it more and more like free agency and the draft. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, that leads me into the next thing was the portal. You know, the last time we had talked, the portal was getting pretty heavy, and it is blown up now. And you know, a team that, you know, I follow with the Longhorns, Coach Sark had said, I think a few days ago, that the way that he handles it is once you put your name in the portal, you're no longer Texas football, basically. That was, you know, his method, because they had asked him how they handle it. But it's hard to get excited on a year-to-year basis, I guess, on one stat, because so many kids leave.
Yeah.
So many are coming in. And it's just new faces, but I understand it. So now what you've seen just in a year, how crazy has the portal been?
It's nuts. I think I can give you an up-to-date number. Right now, there are, let me see, just from my position, right, just for corners.
Okay.
As of this window, there are 102 corners in the portal. Just corners.
Oh, my gosh.
You're only playing with two corners at a time. And then you're carrying, depending on your, you know, your roster and how you construct it, you know, you're carrying, let's say, 8 to 9 corners at a time. There's 102 guys in the portal that are basically, so there's 102 free agents at that position, right? And then you look, you know, it's good for guys to know this. Like, this is how it goes. You scroll over on our Excel sheet and it shows, like, did they play this year, right? Mm. How many games did they play? What are their stats? So just how college coaches think, the first thing you want to look at is, like, who did not play this year?
Right.
You're not going to be, you know, prioritizing guys that didn't step on the field where they were at. Unless they were at, you know, one of the top five programs in the country, you understand. But even then, you're like, okay, was he on special teams? Why not? Because ultimately, whether a kid's at Georgia or whether a kid's at, you know, Bowling Green, whatever, like, we're all looking for the same thing.
Right.
They might be taking a bigger version of what we can take. They might be looking at a faster version, but they're still looking for the same thing that we're looking for. And so if they didn't play there, you're thinking, well, are we going to have the same problem with them here? You know, like, what are those questions? So everything is just projection, right? Everything is an educated guess at the end of the day. But yeah, man, I mean, that's just at my position right there. And I'm evaluating everybody, every corner that jumps in the portal, but I'm by far prioritizing guys that that played meaningful snaps at their previous school.
And it's very interesting because people, it obviously a business. I know it's school, but in a sense, it's business-like. And then when you have the the high school effect, the kids that are coming in, it's very, very intriguing because of the transfer portal. I mean, the way that it just it shifts and people are moving constantly. So I think competition more than anything is at an all-time high. And I mean, I'm sure you see it on the field. It brings it out, which leads me into my next point. What have you seen so far from being around the team? You know, how do you feel?
They're a hungry group. You know, they tasted a good amount of success last year with 6 wins. Head coach is going on year 5 and he just signed a 3-year extension. So there's stability. There's a taste of that success, and they're really, you know, really motivated to take that next step, you know, to now get up to 8-9 wins, you know, and go to the next thing. So for me, I'm good. I'll see you over there. Sorry. To me, it's a positive thing as far as the situation that we have with stability, with they tasted success. They want to take that next step. We feel like we're equipped to take that next step. We feel confident in that. And I think, you know, there's just that natural transition period where it's like, you know, they're looking at you like, who are you, you know, and where do you come from? What, you know, what's your motive? What are you all about? They're just looking, you know, build that relationship, build that trust, break bread with them, talk about your experiences, let them know who you are, and then just show up every day for them and support them. And I feel like we've kind of gotten to that point. And now I feel like I'm starting to know them and you're able to have more fun with them. And, you know, and now it starts to really get fun. And then now you can really dig into them on a personal level and start molding them for how you do things, you know. So that adjustment period is always what it is. But now we're in that period where we can start really having fun. But what I've seen is a group that's hungry, motivated, and talented.
Wow. And this next question is about coaching. You know, you took a big, I don't want to say a leap of faith, you know, but you gambled on yourself, you know, you believed in yourself and you put yourself out there and you got the job. There's a lot of people that believe in themselves and they want to coach. Maybe they're coaching, but they're just not sure on how to get to the next step. Maybe somebody wouldn't have left Arizona. You know what I mean? They'd have said, I'm from Tucson. I know the area. I'm good here. I know I could probably do a little better, but I don't know if I want to test the waters. I'm comfortable. But then they live with a little bit of regret. So, yeah, what advice would you give for a coach that might be in that similar situation?
Yeah. That's a, in a good way, that's a very triggering question for me. It's very triggering in a positive way, though, just because it's like, it just makes me reflect on this 13-year pursuit I've had, you know, and started in 2008 coaching freshman football at Rincon High School, my alma mater, you know. So it's I kind of get the chills when you make me reflect on it like that. I try not to, to be honest with you. I try to just keep my head down because I know one day I'm going to pop up and.
Yeah.
And look at this. Look at the guests. Oh, wait. Might have to take this FaceTime call real quick. It's a recruit.
Oh, okay.
You always got to answer the recruit. Hold on. You can keep recording.
Okay.
He just called me, so I'm just seeing if he's. Hey, look, I'm doing an interview right now, and still hitting you back. I'll hit you up when I'm done.
All right.
One second. All right. Never stops.
Oh, I understand.
But yeah, what advice would I give? Man, I would say it's just the Nipsey Hussle mindset. You know, it's a marathon, and you got to be willing to truly sacrifice, dedicate your life to something. So you got to be really serious about it. And I think for the longest time, I knew I was going to be in this position. I always wanted to be a Division I position coach, and I want to be a Division I head coach. And if it eats at you enough, and if you really truly would go 20, I would have went 30 years, you know, if it would have been another 15 years from now, I would still be pursuing this.
Wow.
So I don't know. My advice would be, you got to be serious about it. You got to really be serious about everything that comes with it. You know, you might sleep on the airport floor. You might live in a dorm room for a couple of years. You might eat a lot of cafeteria food. You know, you might struggle to pay your phone bill for a couple of years in Thatcher, Arizona. You know, you remember those days? You got to be willing to do some things. But if you truly love what you're doing and you truly can't shake it, you know, like I would, like you talked about, you have that regret. I would have had all the regret in the world if I didn't do this.
Right.
And it helped me because I actually took some time to not be in ball. And people were like, man, you're never going to be able to get back into it. That's such a bad decision to make. You're leaving off the path. I'm like, no. I'm not. This is a part of the path. This is a part of the journey. This is a part of my plan.
Right.
That time helped me mentally prepare for the sacrifice that was ahead. I would say it really helped me. And it showed me like how much I absolutely love this and want to do this. I like the bad days. The BS work that you got to do in any job, right? I love the BS work here in my role. I love the bad days. I really enjoy it because there's just nothing else I would rather be doing. And then like you have a bad day or a tough day, I should say, or you got your butt kicked, whether it was in the office, in a staff meeting, on the field, you show up the next day and those players are there and they're just ready for the next day. And it just, that does everything for me. You know what I'm saying? That's the, they are the ultimate cup of coffee for me. You know what I'm saying? Is the guys. It's just the advice is be ready for what's ahead if you really want to do that. Be serious about it. And like Doug Zanes always tells me with Zanes Law, have a plan, you know, just have a plan. And your plan's going to go sideways. Your plan's going to go up and down, you know, but as long as you're kind of matriculating forward, you're good, you know, you're good. And there's going to be some decisions you have to make that people won't understand, but they don't have to understand your plan. You do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can, and you should seek advice and have those mentors and people you can check in with. But at the end of the day, nobody has to understand your plan but you. My plan was very unorthodox in many different ways, but to me, it made sense. So I just stuck with it.
Made sense. And obviously, you know, it panned out for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know the last time we talked, I brought up the kids aspect as far as like kids in high school. And this is the last thing I have for you, what they can do. But now since the portal has shifted and things are, I don't want to say out of control, but just more, there's an added spice. There's more flavor now. You know, those first couple of years of high school, what would you say again that kids need to do to at least position themselves to have a shot at playing college ball?
The first couple of years is critical because you really get off to a good start or a not so good start academically. So you just, those first couple of years, you got to start off on the right foot just with that, you know, high 2-point GPA, 2.8, 2.9 at minimum, ideally above that 3.0 stuff, you know, from a GPA standpoint. Just start off on the right foot, because otherwise, once you figure it out and once you mature your junior year, you're trying to make up time and there's not enough time to make it up. And I was a big procrastinator as a student. So that's speaking from experience, but you really can put yourself in too big of a hole that you can't dig out of it. So you really early on, you have to start off strong academically. It doesn't have to be a 4.0, but again, minimum like 2.8, 2.9, ideally always above the 3.0. I love when guys play other sports. You know, I love when guys and girls, you know, I love when athletes are just exactly that, athletes, you know, go out for other sports, try, fail, you know, just kind of experiment with a little bit, like what works best for you. And even though you might not be as good of a track athlete as you are in your main sport, you're learning how to run faster. You're developing speed. Maybe soccer is foreign to you. Who cares? You're learning some crazy, crazy footwork, you know, and just coordination and balance and ability to change direction, agility. It never hurts you to go out and compete. That will never hurt you. You know, you got to maintain weight or you got to get bigger. And all those things are very, very overrated early on in your high school career. What's underrated and you can't talk about enough is, you know, being able to go adapt to a new sport, being able to go compete, being able to go fail, being able to be uncomfortable in a new surrounding, learning how to work with new teammates. You know what I'm saying? I look back at Rincon High School. For me, I played like not all of my high school career, but during high school, I played baseball, I played basketball, I played football, and I was in the marching band. And then I would work out with the track team.
Wow.
And so those five things, like those are five different types of groups. You know, the marching band kids weren't necessarily the same as the football team, right? But the world is not just a football team, and the world is not just a marching band. The world is a whole bunch of everybody's, right? So you got to be, you know, you got to learn how to adapt to different environments, different people. That was huge for me. And then even looking at a baseball coach versus the marching band director, those are two different coaching styles oftentimes. But I know how to take direction and instruction from the marching band director, and I can do it from a baseball coach's perspective. I can do it from a basketball, like those are all different type of people. So being able to adapt to those different environments was huge for me, because once you get past high school into college, and once you get past college into the real world, it's really those experiences is what's going to allow you to adapt to it in the real world, to where it's like, it's actually less, it's less adapting that you have to do because you've done it. Now you're prepared. So instead of having to adapt, now you're just prepared. I look at that here, like you asked, like, now you're far away from home. You're not home anymore. You were just home the last couple of years. And what's that like? But my mom was able to write grants when I was young through her nonprofit dance studio. That allowed me as a young kid to visit places like Venezuela and Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
So I learned already how to adapt to different places, different cultures, different languages. So different foods, right? Different cultures, religions. So now coming here, and you know, I've done other traveling as well, but it's, to me, it's not a big deal to be in Ohio. No, I've never lived in Ohio before, but I have been in new places, so I know how to adapt.
Wow.
So I think it's huge. I think it's huge. There's a lot of benefits that I had in high school, and then there's some shortcomings that I had in high school that I could have done better. And so for people that are in high school now or looking to go into high school soon, man, those are like really, really key. Just academically start off on a good foot, you know, be versatile, play other sports, be multiple, because that ability to cross train is going to really, really benefit you later on. And I think the last thing I would say about that is don't be afraid to like really ask for true constructive criticism. Like really, I know it's a lost thing a little bit, you know, a lot of people want compliments,
right?
But if you just get filled with compliments, man, you're really not about improvement. And it was tough for me early on. Then I learned like when people are giving you feedback or constructive criticism, they're not attacking you. They're not saying, excuse me, that you're not good at something. They're just saying like, hey, here's an area that if you work on it, this can become better for you. This can now work in your favor, you know, however you want to see it, but you can't be sensitive to that. And I would say early on, high school, even college, I was sensitive to those things a little bit. I wanted to be told how good I was at things. That will only get you so far. Because then literally just think about it. You will never know what part of your game or what part of your life needs to be improved upon. Oof. But everybody's quick to say, man, I just want to get better. I don't know if you do want to get better if you're not willing to hear true feedback, you know, and hear like, look, this is where, you know, you're falling a little bit short. I think for me, looking back on high school, there was coaches that I knew I could ask them, like, how do you see me? You know, like, where are my strengths? Where are my challenges? How can I get better? Sometimes I sought them out and sometimes I didn't, because I knew like they were going to have something to say.
Yeah.
And I wasn't always ready to hear it. But now I would say I'm pretty obsessed with like constructive criticism, because I'm now mature enough to truly be obsessed with like improvement, you know, like truly obsessed with like, okay, what could I have done better there? And then the other good thing is once you hear it enough from other people, now you learn yourself more, because those people provided you with a mirror.
Right.
And now I've seen that mirror so often. Now I can self-correct. Now I can self, you know, reflect. I can self-improve. I'll still ask people for feedback, but I've done that enough times to where I have an idea of like, okay, I have a really good idea, I would say, of my strengths. And I have a really good idea of my shortcomings. Well, now it's perfect because I know what my strong suits are. So I can focus on that, because that's what's going to bring me that's what's going to bring unique value to an organization, what I'm good at.
Right.
And then what I struggle with or what I challenge with, I know that too. So now that's where I can ask for help. And so now it might seem like, man, this dude's like really good at a lot of stuff. Negative. I just know, I know what I suck at. And when you know what you suck at, now you can, boom, bring somebody else in, and now you can lean on your teammates. You know, that's what they're there for.
I'm glad you shared that, because I really hope people tap in and listen to that. And I know in the past I've been around some kids that have gotten, you know, some big offers and whatnot, you know, and you can't tell them nothing because they've already gotten it. If, you know, then the mindset is, well, if that was true, then why did I receive it? So yeah, everyone that's listening, I hope you really tap into that, because everyone's telling you how great a job you're doing. Something's wrong there.
Something's wrong. It's always funny too, because when you study the best at what they do, and whether it's, you know, you read their book or you watch, you know, a documentary on that person, a lot of those people were like really, really, really obsessed with like being coached. They were really, really obsessed with like, what am I missing? How do I attack what I'm not good at? Or how do I improve what I am good at?
Right.
You know, I mean, like I've heard some really cool Peyton Manning stories where it's a walkthrough. You know, it's a walkthrough. You're literally walking. You're not breaking a sweat. And he said he broke a sweat. It was every chance to get better, every chance to improve. He used it. And it was like, you know, people are like filming him during a walkthrough. And he's going back and watching himself and critiquing himself, or asking a coach to critique him during a walkthrough. Just because it was an opportunity to improve. And it's always ironic to me. The very best ones are obsessed with you, like breaking them down.
Right.
You know, like really break me down, really, 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 really poke at me. You know what I'm saying? Really try to find as many holes as you can, because eventually I'm going to plug all those holes up. And now this ship is unsinkable. Right. Right? That's absolutely. That's how I look at it. But it is hard though. It's not easy, because it's, you know, you have to be secure in who you are and confident and all those type of things. That takes time. And there's guys here that I talk about this same conversation too. Like, I feel like you want me to tell you how good you are, and I feel like I want to tell you these are the things that you need to do to have a chance. There's a lot of players out there. There's 102 corners just in the portal. Like, they are coming for your spot.
Right.
That's life. So you have to be obsessed with like attacking self-improvement, you know, but it took me a while to learn that, I would say too.
Definitely a life lesson, and it doesn't come natural for some. But I appreciate you coming on today. It's always been a pleasure. You know, best of luck to you this coming season. I feel that you guys will have a good winning season, and you'll bring some of that culture, and you'll put your stamp on it. So yeah, best of luck to you, and can't wait to see what happens for you.
Appreciate it, brother. Thanks a lot.